Well, we're through with our study of the book of Philippians for now, and we'll be starting next Sunday looking at the Psalms and going through various Psalms for several months. Today, though, if you'd like to turn in your copy of the Scriptures to John 11, that's what we're going to be looking at today and thinking through the resurrection of Lazarus. That might be different to you. Okay, we usually talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you'll see why. And this event happening very shortly before Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. The resurrection of Lazarus in John 11. We'll read 44 verses of John 11 here in a moment. Resurrection Sunday is what we call this. I try to usually be fairly careful to call it Resurrection Sunday and not Easter, but you don't necessarily have to. A few things about this then. Easter is the common English name for this Sunday. If you say Easter, people know what you're talking about. They understand what that means somewhat. Had a nice conversation with someone yesterday, and they said, well, if this is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what's up with the bunny, right? That's a good question, isn't it? Why do we have this bunny, the Easter bunny that's out there? And, of course, if you have VeggieTales, if your children are little, you think you're singing the song in your head, aren't you? The bunny, our kids had that one. Where's the bunny come from? Well, that's just someone made that up. It seems like The world loves to do that, don't they? They try to throw something to get the attention off of Jesus Christ. Anything to get the attention off of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Easter is the common English name. It is the word used by German and English speaking people. But where does that come from? You won't find the word Easter in your Bible, right? You won't find it in there. And it's not even Greek or Hebrew. Maybe you're thinking, well, maybe that's just from the Greek or the Hebrew. It's not, actually. So where does Easter come from? You may have heard that Easter is a pagan holiday. So what in the world are we doing having a treasure hunt on Saturday, right? I think of the greatest treasure is Jesus Christ, right? And you seek him. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Amen. There's a lot of seeking. Knock and it'll be open. Seek and you will find. That's just a great illustration. It is a cultural thing, but there's nothing wrong with that, certainly. But you've heard that probably, that Easter is a pagan holiday, and people will say that Easter predates Christianity. And you may or may not have heard this. If you care, you might have heard this. If you've looked into it, that Easter, the word Easter, is tied to the pagan goddess Eostare, and that's where we get this transliteration of the word Easter from. So that's, and to celebrate that at the beginning of spring. Now, here's the thing about this. Don't you love these? If you actually look into this to see if it's just somebody's idea or some crazy thing or if it's really true, it's actually just a crazy thing. There's little truth to any of that. It's all garbage, quite honestly. The pagan goddess Eostare is taken from one entry from a 7th, 8th century monk. One. There's really no evidence that there ever was any worship of anyone called Eostare ever. Just one monk. Who knows if he had an axe to grind? Who knows, right? So that is very spurious at best. There's just no reason to worry about that part of it. No evidence at all. So don't push trust in that. And even if you Google it and someone tells you that Eostare is Easter, well, they're wrong. Anybody can make Wikipedia entries. It's not true. There's really not a lot of evidence that Easter, the word Easter, comes from pagan roots at all. Now, as I think through it myself, I still call it Resurrection Sunday. Why? It's more clear, right? We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if there's already cultural confusion around the term Easter, Catholic Church confusion, all those things, why not just be clear, right? That's why I do. But if you've called it Easter, no problem, right? It's not a big deal. It's okay. It's interesting. Easter comes from albus, which is a Latin phrase, which is actually dawn. And the reason is, or and then it's also from the German Eostarum is where that reference to Eostaris that I said earlier, because it took these verses after the Sabbath towards the dawn. Jesus rose before the dawn, right at the beginning of the day, right? He was the first part of the dawn, the sun is rising, Jesus rose from the dead. And the grave couldn't hold him. 3 days were up, the day is dawning, Christ rose from the dead. And so that's where this actually comes from. It's kind of transliterated into German and English that way. The early church would have called today Pascha, from the Greek, which is also a transliteration of Hebrew, so even Greek people did those things that we do. And Pesach, and that's just from Passover. That's why Easter, we know, you know, at Christmas time, we really don't know what time of the year Christ was born. We have no idea. But Easter, we do know with great certainty that this is the right day to celebrate Christ rising from the dead, because it's based around Passover. And that's, we know when that is. You just follow the calendar, the Jewish calendar, and there's moon cycles and all that. It's very easy to see. This is the right time to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of the confusion around Easter, I would still, personally, I just like to say Resurrection Sunday, but if you say Easter, it's not a sin, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. I think the word has been widely used for many, many centuries. It's fine. Don't worry about it if you like that to use that word. But it's Resurrection Sunday because we celebrate that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Oh yeah, the French also, Passover word. And the French turns into Easter from English. It's just kind of a weird language thing. So it could be from the German transliteration. It could be from this French Passover transliteration, why we get the word Easter. Nobody really knows completely for sure. A lot of history stuff is lost, but just to say that it's pagan, people are not doing very good homework on that one. It's very, I wouldn't even worry about that. Do people think that? Sure, in our culture, so that's why clarity maybe is important. But Resurrection Sunday, I think, is more clear because we're celebrating when Christ rose from the dead. And during the Passover, they had, when Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper, he changed the Lord's Supper from Passover to Lord's Supper, because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. The empty tomb. The next day, this is John the Baptist, the next day he saw Jesus come toward him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ had to die for our sins, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And so today is that day. And today, then, we're going to look at, so we're celebrating and remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at this text today, then, about the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, that might seem odd to you. That's okay if it seems odd to you. Hopefully, you'll understand why I chose this passage many months ago. But I think it really, it'll help us. It really speaks to who Christ is, why he came to earth, and what the significance or importance of the resurrection is. Resurrection Sunday. You can follow along with me as I read. It's quite an extended reading, but I'm going to read it all. And we're going to come back and sort of walk through it and pick it apart a little bit, spend some time in there, and hopefully you'll be encouraged. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, he who you love is ill." When Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." And after saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking a rest in sleep. And Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin and said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary had come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Wow, what a glorious passage, amen. It just sucks you right in, better than any Hollywood movie. Pray with me, and we'll ask for the Lord's help as we spend a little time anyway unpacking this scripture this morning. Hopefully you can already see why I chose it, all right? Not hard to see, right? Glorious passage. God, thank you once again for this reminder that you are the resurrection and the life. God, thank you so much. We desperately need you, and we need that hope in this world. Death is all around us. We all face it. We need some help in this world, and we need hope. And I pray that the reading of your word today would encourage all of us and give us a renewed faith in Christ, that we would know again who you are, follow you well, speak the truth to others in love, and just see you work and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Lazarus, not to be confused with the other Lazarus Jesus used as a parable, Lazarus the poor man, this is Lazarus, and that says in John 11, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. The other Lazarus was found in Luke 16. This is not the same one. This is the Lazarus that's a brother of Mary and Martha. They lived near Jerusalem together. I think I have several of these passages that I can pop up here. They lived near Jerusalem, and they were followers of Jesus Christ. They provided for the ministry of Jesus. They had some means. They had some money, and they were dear friends of Jesus. And you notice in the text as we read, this Bethany was near Jerusalem. You notice in the text, the one whom you love is ill. Our friend Lazarus, this was someone that was very dear to Jesus. the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet. These are people that Jesus loved dearly. They were all close friends, his disciples, his traveling companions. And Jesus loved Mary and Martha, her sister. He loved them. These were people that he had a deep connection to. And so as we unpack this, here's the context. People that Jesus knew intimately, that had spent time with him, traveled with him, and he deeply loved them. Then you see that Lazarus becomes ill. Many times Jesus is challenging people's theology on sickness, right? Is all sickness the result of some sinful thing you've done? Well, in this case, so that Jesus, I mean, he died so that Jesus could display who he was. Lazarus became ill. So you have people that Jesus loved, Lazarus ill. The one whom you love is ill. He's sick. And we know that he was really sick. He was going to die. There are close friends, and Lazarus is ill. John is the only gospel account with this very important event. Isn't that interesting? The rest of the gospel accounts don't have this in there. Just John as the disciple that traveled with Jesus and loved him. So, friends that Jesus loved, they're ill. What would you do if your friend was sick and you had something that they needed? You'd probably try to provide that for them, wouldn't you? And this isn't the main message of this passage, certainly. But think about that and chew on it a little bit. What would you do? Well, I would probably try to help them. You know, we say that all the time. Maybe we don't mean it all the time. Hey, is there anything I can do for you? Right? Hopefully you do mean that. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. That's kind of normal. Well, Lazarus wasn't just sick. He died. And so they sent for Jesus. The one whom you love is ill, and Jesus delayed. How does that make any sense? If you were one of the disciples, wouldn't you be scratching your head? They knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They were dear to him. He was ill, dying, and Jesus delayed. And then Lazarus ends up dying. Of course, Jesus loved Mary and her sister, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It doesn't make any sense. Now, we've read the whole thing, so we see what happened, right? Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that the Father was on board. It was all going to happen. No big deal, right? So he knew. But did Mary and Martha know? No. Life is like that a lot of times, isn't it? It just doesn't make any sense. God, you know I love you. You know that I want to do your will. You know that my whole life has been dedicated to you. Where are you at? Feels like that a lot of times, doesn't it? In this case, Jesus purposefully delayed. Do you ever have that prayer? Hurry up, God, hurry up. I know you're there. I know you are going to deliver me, but hurry up. And then the unthinkable happens. He's dead. And what's the human mind say? It's over. Well, that was it. We tried. We sent for Jesus, and now he's dead. Might as well tell Jesus not to worry about coming. Doesn't make much sense unless you know the rest of the story. Why would God let Lazarus die? Why would Jesus delay when he loved them all? Life is full of those moments. It's a struggle of life and death. And we all know that people are going to get sick. People that you love are going to die. It's a dangerous world. Everyone dies in this world. 100% mortality rate. Everybody's going to die. Why, God? Why? Where are you at? Could you just hurry up? If you had just been here. And God says, but Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It was for love that he waited. So then, Jesus decides to travel to Bethany. His disciples were very much wondering, he would be, right? Okay, we're going now? Why would we go now? Right? Okay, let's go to Judea again. Now the disciples, they thought that Jesus didn't go to help Lazarus because the Jews were getting ready to stone him. So they thought, Lazarus is ill, Jesus would normally just go and take care of it. He's just going to go and he's going to heal him. Why wouldn't he? Well, he must be scared. He must be afraid of the Jews. They're going to stone him, and so he's not going to go there. And then they're like, okay, Rabbi, they were going to stone you, and now you're going there? Right? That didn't make any sense. Why, you know, if we were going to go there anyway and be stoned to death, why didn't we go in the beginning? You see? Why wait? So they didn't understand it. They thought he was afraid. But they decided to go on to Bethany. And I love this part, this little aside thing about Thomas. We have this byword, oh, you're a doubting Thomas. That'd be a bummer to get labeled and saddled with that one, wouldn't it? Because he doubted when Christ was risen. But Thomas was also kind of a zealous guy. So he was like all of us, right? He had his moments. He had his good moments, he had his weak moments. And Thomas has this glorious, I think it's a glorious statement. Hey, let's go too. We'll just die with him. You know, and, you know, I could take that as a snarky thing, but it's not. He's like, I will follow Jesus. They're going to try to kill us. That's fine. I'm following Jesus. Let's do it. Come on, guys, let's all go. We'll just die with Jesus. That'll be our end. Thomas gets a bad rap, but he was very zealous at some times. The disciples were changed. Where you were going and now what? Why now? They could not make sense of it. But it was not fear of the Jews that delayed Jesus. Jesus knew the Jews wanted him dead. He wasn't afraid of them at all. He'd proven that several times. People had tried to throw him off of cliffs and other things. They couldn't do anything to him. It wasn't his time. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours? Kind of a cryptic thing to say. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. He was saying, look, I ain't hiding. That's the point. I am not hiding in the dark. I'm going to go and do what I'm called to do. And the Jews are going to do what they're going to do. But they went on to Bethany. They arrived. Lazarus was, of course, dead. He had been dead 4 days. And the King James Version says in the next part, the body stinketh. Right? It was not good. Okay? It doesn't take long, especially in that climate, for things to decompose. Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead. It wasn't a surprise to him. It wasn't like, oh, man, I came too late. He knew. Because he's told them specifically, Lazarus has died. Hey, let's go. Our friend has fallen asleep. Oh, if he's asleep, he'll wake up. Don't worry about it. He's died. Oh, why are we going then, right? Wouldn't you be thinking that? Okay, he's dead. I don't know. Why are we going? Why, Lord? What's going on? The family did not understand. Martha heard Jesus was coming. She went and met him. Mary remained seated in the house. I think that's written in there for a reason. She didn't want to go out and see Jesus. She's like, you know what? Lazarus is already dead. He should have come. Why didn't he come? She was wrestling with those things. He could have saved my brother from dying. He loves my brother. I don't understand this at all. And she didn't even want to come out and see Jesus or meet him. She did eventually. You know, she was wrestling with it, but they didn't understand. They were hurt. They were mourning. She had some faith, right? Even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. But she certainly was not thinking of resurrection because she didn't understand what Jesus said. Don't worry about it. I'm going to raise him. Well, he'll raise him the last day, right? Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They were in their darkest time. They had no idea what God was going to do. Before we move on from that, just chew on that a little bit. We go through this whole passage on Lazarus, and we see from start to finish, Jesus had full knowledge of everything that was going on. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew that people that he loved were hurting. He knew that they had died, and he knew that God was going to do something utterly glorious as a result. Do you think that in heaven right now, Lazarus is sorry that he had to die and be raised from the dead? He might have been sorry that he had to come back to this mess for a little while, right? Why'd you pull me out of heaven? It was great. Now I got to be back down here again. I got to go to work on Monday, right? I don't know. I'm sure he was just submitting to whatever God wanted him to do. But think about it. Those were dark times for this family. Dark times. And here's their friend who they saw heal people and was from God and casting out demons and did all these powerful things. And he's distant from them. And he delays. You ever think about how many times in your life when life has really hurt and you don't know where God is and you don't know when he's going to show up and you don't have any understanding of what is happening? Did you know that God already knows the complete end from the beginning of that? Did you know that you might be just missing the incredibly glorious thing that God is just about to do? This family didn't have any clue what God was about to do, did they? No idea. But God had a perfect plan. He can be trusted. And our feelings will try to dictate the way life is and the way it feels and the way we think it's going to go. And the world will sit there and spew its lies and its evil on you and tell you that things are a wreck and it's over. You know, Mary and Martha, they thought, this is over. It wasn't over. It wasn't over. God was working. No human could have done anything, right? It was out of everybody's control. There was nobody that could do anything except for Jesus. That's glorious. And it helps me in life. I hope it helps you too to think through that. You know what? Yeah, it's hard at times, but God is on the scene. I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing something great, and he will. And I'm going to trust him with whatever he wants to do. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips. He was buried. His face was wrapped. It had to be quite a scene, didn't it? He was, whoa, you know, hey, unwrap that dude, right? He's got grave stuff on him. Unbind him, let him go. This is the amazing answer to all of the whys that every person was thinking. All of the disciples. Why, Lord? Why are you delaying? Why don't you love him, Mary and Martha? Oh, Lord, if you had just been here, why? Why? Why would you let this happen? How could you do this? I don't understand. And Jesus said, here's your answer right here. Lazarus, come out. Bam. Lazarus is alive. How glorious. Think of all the heartache and pain that the whole family and all the disciples and everyone was feeling. And it was completely transformed into joy in that moment because Jesus Christ was up to something good, something wonderful. Lazarus came walking out, stumbling out of the tomb there. Awesome. Jesus has already told them, this illness does not lead to death. He knew that it was not ultimately going to, Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. It was going to be okay. Jesus said, I am glad for your sake that I was not there. How does that make any sense to you if Lazarus isn't raised from the dead? Hey, I'm glad Lazarus died. Right? You ever say that at a funeral? Hope not. Right? Unless you can raise him from the dead. I'm glad I wasn't there. Wow. Weren't you be thinking that if you were a disciple when Jesus said that? Wow, you're glad? What in the world, right? I have no idea what's going on here. And now all of a sudden, they're like, they got to be sitting there just stunned going, oh, I get it now. Wow, raised from the dead. I didn't see that one coming. Let's go to him. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He told them, your brother will rise again. Right before he did, had done this glorious statement here, which really is the purpose of us discussing this today. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the life. Death is no obstacle for Jesus Christ. None. How glorious. Death is our great enemy, isn't it? We all face it. We are all going to leave this world. We're all going to die one day. But Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Death is no obstacle for him. Humanly thinking, the story is over. Lazarus is dead. Seal the tomb. Have a mourning party. Not when Jesus is on the scene. I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother will rise again. He could have said, right now, because he was fixing to raise him from the dead, right? Right now. I love that. This illness does not lead to death. There are many witnesses to this resurrection. Death is no obstacle for Jesus. They knew Jesus could heal sickness. They had seen that firsthand. But death, they thought, is final. But that's not true. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And he proved it by raising Lazarus and in himself as well, raising from the dead. Many witnesses, let me see here. There's those. Many witnesses were present at this resurrection. Many of the Jews had come from Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. Oh, there's a large crowd around when Jesus did this miracle. When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come with her weeping, he was deeply moved. So they were right there at the tomb when Jesus called Lazarus up out of the tomb. It was a very public event. Notice this, the response of the Jewish leaders of the day. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb was raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness. So these people, they went back to Jerusalem and they're like, all right, we got to tell somebody about this, all right? And the Jews, they responded, well, they wanted not only to kill Jesus, now they wanted to kill Lazarus too. That's twisted, all right? That's some hard-hearted people. But the people that saw the resurrection, they were like, I got to tell somebody. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So is this some parlor trick that was recorded? Lazarus was dead 4 days. He stunk. He was rotting. He was suffering corruption. And Jesus raised him from the dead, fully healed. And many people witnessed it. There was no way anybody could spin the story, right? News today, they'd get it done, wouldn't they, right? They'd spin some lie off on it. But firsthand witnesses, they saw it. Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? There's a lot of speculation on that. It's hard to say, quite honestly. I've always thought that Jesus wept because he was pulling Lazarus out of heaven. And that's sad. You know, if you're in perfect glory and it's a beautiful place and you're with the Father and then all of a sudden you got to come back down to this mess, that's not good. But as I restudied this passage and I thought through it, I'm not sure about that. It could be. That's one opinion people have. It feels to me like the whole reading of the passage is just that Jesus is weeping because everyone else is so broken. There's just sadness all around this. Their beloved brother had died, and all of the hopelessness of the people there and the sadness and the sorrow, I think Jesus just had empathy for them. And that's what makes it so glorious, because he's sitting there, he's weeping with those who weep, fully knowing Lazarus is going to rise from the dead, but he still shared their sorrow. What a compassionate God. It's amazing, amazing to think about. He showed them compassion. Jesus saw her weeping. He was deeply moved. You know, he shared their sorrow and their troubles. See how he loved him. He shared in their sorrow and their pain. He's deeply moved. Well, I am the resurrection and the life. As I said, this is why I chose this passage today, because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He rose Lazarus from the dead. Death is no obstacle for Jesus Christ. That's good news for us today. And Jesus ends with this question. It isn't in the passage, but I'm going to end us with this question that he asked to the ladies there. Do you believe? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Back up to 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. 26. Oh, I had 25 up already. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, it's a very important question, isn't it? Do you believe this? Do you believe things about this? Is your family Christian? Did you grow up in America and call yourself a Christian person? Did you have Christian heritage, whatever? No. He says, do you today believe this? And I just on Resurrection Sunday, I think it's something that we should all grapple with. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a resurrection of the life, that he is the Son of God that came to die for the sins of mankind? He died what we call today Good Friday. He died on the cross and 3 days later was risen from the dead, proving that his propitiation, his sacrifice for sin was accepted. Do you believe this? Do you believe? Are you born again? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Are you? Have you placed personal trust in Christ? Or is it just something you've kind of believed, something you've thought about, something the ideas you liked? Or have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Being born again means that you were once something else, and now you are reborn into something new. You were once lost in your sin, and now you're born again, new, alive to God by trusting Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus is God in the flesh? Who else could have called Lazarus out of the grave? Who could get it done? That's one of the things that just I find amusing, I suppose, in a sad way, about some of the Pharisees. They would get mad at Jesus about healing someone. Hey, don't heal people on the Sabbath. Well, you don't do it, I know, because you can't heal anybody. Right? Who could get this done? Just Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. Do you believe this? Do you believe he is the Messiah? He has come to save you from your sins. Do you believe this? I'd encourage you today. Today is the day of salvation. If you have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ today, do it today. What are you waiting for? Every person will face death. Almost no one gets the opportunity Lazarus had, right? Lazarus, he got to live again. Almost no one gets that opportunity. You likely won't. Your story will be over when you leave this world. Have you trusted Christ? What are you waiting for? At least do some research on it and think it through. God, Jesus is God in the flesh. He died for you. And by trusting in him, you can share in his resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, it's all about Jesus. The gospel is all about following Jesus, knowing Jesus, and what he has done on your behalf. Let's pray. God, thank you for this really cool passage that you inspired John to relay to us. It's amazing and so hopeful. This world is certainly, it is what it is. It's not as bad as it could be, but boy, there are times when it's pretty dark. And we need some hope. Thank you for that hope in Christ. That because he rose from the dead, we know without a doubt that every person who has trusted Christ will one day rise again from the dead and share in that resurrection and be alive forevermore. Thank you for that, O Lord. God, there are likely many people online listening and all of these dear souls here. I just pray that if there's anyone here that does not know Christ as Savior, that you would just work in them, change their heart, help them see their need for Christ, do a work in them to be saved, to be born again. We would love to hear of that. Thank you, God, for your wonderful gospel. Thank you for the truth of the resurrection that gives us great hope today. I pray that these words would be on our tongue as we meet others in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.